This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillah ta'ala, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالًا كثيرًا ونساءً واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. The Muslim is in a never-ending struggle with shaitan. From that moment that shaitan and Iblis refused to obey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prostrate to our father Adam alayhi salam, and from the moment that he made that pact before Allah, لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, I will misguide all of the children of Adam, إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ, except for your sincere slaves, O Allah. From that moment onwards, we have been in a constant struggle and fight with shaitan. That's played out every single day, in many different ways and in many different scenarios. But in one of the most continuous struggles that we face, it is the struggle that we face in our ibadah. It is hard enough. It is from the major struggles of the jihad that we have to make every day, that to motivate ourselves to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to pray, to give zakah, to fast. Each one of those can sometimes be difficult. And then not only that, but when you engage within the act of worship and you begin it, then to perform it and to complete it in a way that is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla, in a manner which is acceptable to Him, is also a struggle. Because shaitan doesn't just stop if a person starts to pray, if they start to read Quran, if they want to make dhikr, if they want to give some sadaqah. That's when he starts even more, in some cases, his different tactics begin in terms of diminishing a person's reward, or making sure that they don't take the full benefits and rewards of that act of worship that they want to perform. I want to mention one of the greatest struggles that we have in terms of worship, and that is the salah. The salah. Each and every single time you come to pray, whether it be in the masjid or at home, whether it be an obligatory salah or a voluntary salah, whichever salah it is, shaitan is there to try to diminish that reward. I want to mention to you a passage from the book of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, in which he speaks about the levels of people when it comes to the salah. And he mentions that there are five types of people when it comes to the salah. And these are very important, because most of us were unaware, or even if we're aware and we know that shaitan is an enemy to us, in the middle of the salah, we don't really pay attention. We're not alert to the different tactics of shaitan and his plans and plots. Five types of people when it comes to the salah, when it comes to the prayer. The worst of them, the first level, is that person who's going to pray but is not going to fulfill its conditions. He's going to pray but is not going to fulfill its obligatory components. He's going to pray and he has no khushu' in his salah. He's going to pray just simply to tick a box and to say that I prayed, but in reality he didn't really pray. Like the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu in Sahih Muslim. He said, تِلْكَ صَلَاتُ الْمُنَافِقِ يَجْلِسُ يَرْقُبُ الشَّمْسِ حَتَّى إِذَا كَانَ بَيْنَ قَرْنِي شَيْطَانِ قَامَ فَنَقَرَهَا أَرْبَعًا لَا يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِيهَا إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. That is like the prayer of the munafiq, the hypocrite. He sits and he waits until the time of salah is almost ending. And then he stands and he prays so quickly, up and down, up and down. He doesn't remember Allah, hardly anything in that salah. Or like the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the man who didn't know how to pray. He came in the masjid and he prayed, but he wasn't making ruku' correctly, didn't make sajda correctly, didn't sit between the two sajdas correctly. He was rushing his prayer. And so he would finish his prayer and he would come and he would give salam to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would reply, and then he would say to him, irji' fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli. Go back and pray, for you didn't pray. The man prayed, meaning he did actions that we would look at and we would say, well, those are actions of salah, but he didn't perform them correctly. Like the person who doesn't make wudu correctly, so they didn't fill the conditions of salah. They come and they pray, but they didn't wash their feet properly. They didn't make wudu and wash their arms correctly. Or they missed out something else when it came to one of the conditions of the salah. And that is why the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, aswa'u nas alladhi yasriqu salata. The worst of people is the one who steals from his own prayer. The thief, the worst of thieves, is the one that thieves from his own salah, his own prayer. They said, O Messenger of Allah, how can a person steal from his own salah? He said, la yutimmu ruku'aha wa la sujudaha. He doesn't fulfill its ruku', he didn't fulfill its sujood. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said about this first category of people, fahuwa mu'aqab. This person will be held punished for that, because he didn't pray. Even though he thinks that he prayed, even though in his mind he thinks that he prayed, but that is how shaitan has played with him. That he's doing something and it doesn't even count. Didn't fulfill it in any one of its forms, neither its conditions, nor its obligations and pillars, nor in terms of the khushu' that he should have had in that salah. So that person will be held to account, will be punished for that on Yawm al-Qiyamah. The second type of person when it comes to the salah then is the one who will pray, and they will pray at its correct time. And they will make wudu correctly. And they will stand and their salah is okay in terms of fulfilling its basic components. But within that salah, they're hardly present. Their mind is everywhere except in the salah. They're busy and they're preoccupied because shaitan has come and whispered to them. So now in their salah, all they're thinking about is their job, their family, what's for dinner, the jobs that they have, the chores that they have to go and complete, everything except where they are in that salah. So that's what shaitan does. Shaitan comes and this person doesn't even realize. So he's not going to try to save his salah. That whole salah will finish and he doesn't even know what he prayed. If you ask him, what surah did you hear the imam recite? Or what surah did you read yourself in the salah? He doesn't know. Did you pray 2 rak'ahs, 3 rak'ahs? He thinks he prayed 3 or 4, but he's not too sure. Maybe he missed something. Maybe because he's so fast in his salah or his mind is so absent in his salah that he doesn't really realize what he did in that salah. Very little quality. And that is why in the hadith of Ammar ibn Yasir radiyallahu anhuma, that is collected in the Sunan of Abi Dawood, the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna ar-rajula la yansarif wa laysa lahu illa 'ushru salatihi tusu'uha thumunuha subu'uha sudusuha khumusuha rubu'uha thuluthuha nisfuha. A person will leave the prayer, meaning finish the salah, and all that they get from that salah is 1/10 in reward, or 1/9, or 1/8, or 1/7, or 1/6, or 1/5, or 1/4, or 1/3, or 1/2 of the salah. Because that's all that they remember of it. That's all that they concentrated in it. And so that's from the traps of shaitan. And how many of us fall into that trap? We're there, we're praying, we're present in body, but not in mind. We're there and we're performing the actions of salah and saying the words, and so it's fulfilled as a component. But in terms of its rewards and its benefits, in terms of the khushu' that should be present, that is all missing. It is all absent. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said concerning this second category of person, فَهُوَ muhasab. This person Allah will hold to account on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and he's in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. If Allah wills, he may forgive him. And if Allah wills, he may punish him. His affair is with our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the salah is not just about the outward actions and the words that you recite. It is about the state of the heart and how present it is in the salah. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran, when he says, Ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah, seek assistance in the prayer and in patience. And then he says, Wa innaha lakabiratun illa 'ala al-khashi'in. And that is something major and difficult except for the people who have khushu', attentiveness in their salah. The third type of person when it comes to the salah, the third category of people, are those people who pray and they do everything as they should. And they're even present in their salah, but shaitan will come at them time and time again. But the difference is this time, they're alert and they're aware. So each time shaitan comes and he tries to take away their concentration, tries to distract them in their salah, they're going to get distracted, but they're going to bring it back again. They're going to remind themselves. They're going to follow the sunnah. They're going to seek Allah's protection from shaitan. This person is, Ibn Qayyim says, not only in salah, but in jihad. They're in a constant fight and struggle in their salah because they know what they need to do and they're trying their utmost to do it. But shaitan sometimes overcomes them and sometimes they overcome shaitan. But they're aware and they're alert and they're trying their best. And that is what the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu in Sahih al-Bukhari, that when the adhan is given, shaitan flees from the masjid. And when the adhan finishes, he comes back. And then when the iqama is made, he flees from the masjid again. But when the iqama is finished, he comes back. And then he comes to you and he whispers and he says to you, udhkur kada wa kada. Don't you remember what happened there? Don't you think about this? Think about that. And he will just come and he will whisper to you until the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the person doesn't even remember how much they prayed. And that is why the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if you forget how much you prayed or you're not sure of something, then pray, make those two rak'ahs of sajdatul sahw, the prostration of forgetfulness. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنَّهَا تَرْغِيمٌ لِلشَّيْطَانِ, because that's one of the ways to suppress shaitan. Shaitan didn't win. But that person is alert, they're aware of what shaitan is trying to do. They're constantly in that struggle with shaitan. Most of us fall within these three categories. Either we don't really know what we're doing in the salah at all, we're not even praying correctly, or we're praying but we're not attentive in our salah, or we're praying but we're in this constant struggle with shaitan when it comes to the salah. This third person, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said, فَهُوَ مُكَفَّرٌ عَنْ. This person, Allah will expiate for them their weaknesses because they're trying, they're making that effort, they have that intention, that sincerity, they're doing their level best, but sometimes they overcome and sometimes they overcome shaitan. So Allah will expiate it for them. The fourth type of person, the fourth category of person, is the one who not only prays and not only does everything correctly and also is attentive in their salah, but now shaitan has no power over them because they have made their salah something which is between them and their Lord. They have taken away those distractions of the dunya. And so they're going to know the importance of the salah, and so they're going to approach each and every single salah in a way that is pleasing to their Lord. And that's an extremely difficult level to attain. It's one that takes months, if not years, of hard work and discipline and effort and dua to Allah Azza wa Jal, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps you on that. But the reward of that is amazing. If you can be someone who can take out that 10, 15 minutes every time there's a salah that comes, and you're going to make it a quality salah. And most of us have experienced that, but just not often enough. We have it once in a while, maybe in Ramadan. Maybe there's the odd salah that you come and you're there and you're present for the whole of it and you feel amazing because you're there for that whole salah. You were present, attentive, khashia in that salah. What we need to do is make sure that more salawat are like that salah. In the hadith of Uthman radiallahu anhu in Sahih Muslim, he said that I heard the Prophet say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا مِنْ إِمْرِئٍ مُسْلِمٍ تَحْضُرُهُ الصَّلَاةُ الْمَكْتُوبَةِ فَيُحْسِنُ وُضُوءَهَا وَرُكُوعَهَا وَخُشُوعَهَا إِلَّا كَانَتْ كَفَّارَةً لِمَا قَبْلَهَا مَا لَمْ يَأْتِ كَبِيرَةً وَذَلِكَ الدَّهْرَ كُلَّهُ. No one comes to an obligatory salah and they're going to perfect its wudu, meaning the conditions before the salah, and going to perfect its ruku', meaning the components of the salah, and perfect its khushu', meaning they're attentive in it, except that it will expiate all of their sins that they did before that salah. So long as they don't do a major sin, and that will be for all of their life, meaning for every salah you do that, you get that reward. And that's why the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that from one prayer to another prayer, expiates everything in between. That's an amazing reward. Those 10 minutes, but they're quality 10 minutes. That salah you come to and you know what it is that you're going to recite and you're mindful and you've planned and you're prepared and you've removed to the best of your ability any distraction that will dwindle your salah or diminish from your salah. You don't allow shaitan any way to come in upon you. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said this person, he is muthab. This is the one that takes the true reward of the salah. One of those benefits of the salah that Allah mentions in the Quran. Inna salata tanha. And الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Salah is something which will preserve you and protect you from sins, from evil. The many different rewards of the salah, of the expiation and the increase in reward and the multiplication of good deeds. Those are the people that take the rewards of the salah. That's the fourth type of person. The fifth type of person, and the best of them then, is the one who all they want to do is be in salah. They enjoy it. For them, it's not a burden, it's not a responsibility, it's not an obligation. For them, it is time that they can spend with their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. For them it is everything else in the dunya. When they come to the salah, nothing else matters. Everything else is insignificant. And they would love to spend as much time as they can in salah. So when they're in dhuhr, they can't wait till it's asr. And so in between dhuhr and asr, if they can make nawafil, they will do so. And when asr comes, they can't wait till maghrib, and so on and so forth. And then in the night they will wake and they will struggle to get up, but they will wake up. And they will spend some of that time in qiyamul layl. Just for the love of salah. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was, and this was his station, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he came to salah. He loved the salah. And he would spend hours in the salah. He could pray until his feet had blisters and he wouldn't even realize, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He would pray and he would read long surah after long surah, Baqarah and Ali Imran and Nisa and Ma'idah in a single rak'ah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And other companions similar to that would learn from this. Some of them finished the whole Quran in a single rak'ah of salah in a single night because they loved the salah. Those people, those are the people that for them, it is the enjoyment that they have of worshipping their Lord. Those are the people that have understood what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam found, and Allah azza wa jal gave them that blessing, which is unique amongst his creation. It is rare amongst his creation that Allah azza wa jal allowed you to take some of that and to action some of it. Those are the people that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they have a portion, as Ibn Qayyim said. These are the people that are included in that hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he said, describing himself, وَجُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ. The coolness of my eyes, meaning the enjoyment of my dunya, is in the salah. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if something perturbed him, something worried him, he had anxiety about something, he would rush to the salah. The salah was everything for him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those are the people that shaitan finds no way to come upon, because they are protected and preserved by Allah's permission and through the salah that they offer in that manner. These are the five categories of people. And every one of us should be aspiring to reach at the very least, category number 4, if not category number 5. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us the strength and the ability to do so. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'ani wa sunnah. Wa nafa'ani wa yakum bima fihima min al-ayati wal hikmah. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. Wa li jami'il muslimin min kulli dhanbin fastaghfiruh. Innahu wal ghafurur rahim. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. The reason why I mention this issue of salah is because inshallah ta'ala, as you know, very soon, within a number of days if not weeks, the month of Ramadan is upon us. And it was from the practice of the Salaf that they would make dua to Allah Azza wa Jalla and ask Allah that He gave them the ability and the life to see and witness the month of Ramadan. So we ask Allah Azza wa Jal on this blessed day, in this blessed message, that Allah allows us to live and see Ramadan, that Allah allows us to benefit from it, that Allah Azza wa Jal allows us to make the most of this month of Ramadan. We are in need of Ramadan. And that's because we need to detox from the dunya. All of these issues, all of the problems, all of the distractions of the dunya that compound upon us each and every single day. Allah Azza wa Jal gives us this month so that we can unwire and untap ourselves from the dunya and focus upon what is uppermost or should be uppermost in the life of the Muslim, and that is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The quality of that worship is extremely important. The manner of your salah in Ramadan, how much Quran you read, but also the quality of the Quran that you recite and read. Your fasting, but the quality of the fast that you perform in the month of Ramadan, the sadaqah that you give, but the intention and the quality with which you give it. That is something that we should start focusing upon now. It was the way of the Salaf that they would prepare for Ramadan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would fast this month of Sha'ban more than any month outside of Ramadan, in preparation for Ramadan. And so likewise, we have these 2 odd weeks left now, inshallah ta'ala, before the month of Ramadan comes. It's a time of preparation, a time for you to understand what it is that you're going to do when Ramadan comes, because every moment, every day, every hour of Ramadan is precious. Don't let Ramadan come upon you and it takes you 2, 3 days, 5 days a week before you realize what you want to do in Ramadan. Plan now for that first day so that when it enters, the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal upon us and you, that is going to be something which you can take maximum benefit from. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He allows us to benefit from Ramadan and see Ramadan. That Allah Azza wa Jal makes it a month of increase for us in reward and barakah. And that Allah Azza wa Jal makes it a month of success and victory for the Muslims. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.